This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, SevillePodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow online at SevilleTomorrow.org. He joins us on Tuesday afternoons to talk about growth and development issues here in Central Virginia. Where should we begin? Do we begin with water?
Always.
Oh, we always begin with water. This quest for water.
We wouldn't have to, but it's always in the news.
Yeah, and I want to say, because it's not said enough, for folks who are sort of following this issue, yeah, you know that you see the water headline every once in a while, and you listen to Coy's show, and they're talking about water a lot. But for you, I want to remind you, all this talk about water, we got plenty of water. This talk about water is to create a plan so that we'll have enough water in a drought. We got plenty of water now for our day-to-day use. The whole idea is to create a plan for worst-case scenario. That's all of this is, right?
It's that and for growth.
And for factoring in the growth, all the homes that have already been approved,
yeah,
that are in the pipeline but haven't been built.
That's right.
Yeah. There you go.
A sufficient, safe supply of water for times of drought and for the growth in the community that we're expecting.
But we got plenty right now.
Well, most of the time...
We're not in a drought right now, are we?
Most of the time we do. We're not in a drought any
longer. Allison asked me that the other day. I said, I don't think so.
Nope. The Ravana Water and Sewer Authority announced that at their last meeting that we were now officially out of the drought. But yeah, most of the time, if you look at the South Fork Ravana Reservoir as you head up 29 North and you cross the river and you look quickly,
yeah,
but keep your eye on the traffic in front of you.
Yeah.
But if you look quickly to the left, if you're heading north, you see the reservoir. You know, 97% of the water that comes into the South Fork Reservoir keeps on going,
yeah,
downstream.
We don't have to stop it to drink it.
Yeah, well, we stop enough of it. And, you know, unless we aren't getting enough rain, then that river's flowing and we've got more than what we need.
But if you don't see it flowing over, then...
Then you're hoping we have a big enough bathtub that's collecting water.
There you go.
So that we don't run out.
So what's the latest? We spoke with Kevin Lynch just in the first part of this first segment of the program.
I missed your update? I was in a meeting.
I have to tell you, and I told you this before we went on the air, but I want to say it on the air so everybody can hear it. The story that y'all did, that your team produced about this latest chapter in the water wars, this decision to not do an RFP, not to commence dredging and take bids, but to study it first, just do a task force on dredging.
Yeah.
I think that was the best story that any media outlet did. It's fantastic. And if you want to know what happened, SevilleTomorrow.org. I read every word of it. It was fascinating. And you got the audio of the meeting there, too.
You can listen to the audio. You can even click and download the document that was handed out at the meeting. I scanned that so that the public would have access to it.
It's as if you're there.
It's almost as if you were there. And then there's a long timeline for the podcast. So if there's one particular comment you really want to hear straight from the horse's mouth, you can, you know, move ahead in the recording.
Go right to that spot.
You don't need an iPod. You do not need an iPod to get to these things. You can just click and play it right over the internet. But what happened was it was a meeting of the four chairs. Now, one of them is a mayor, so it's the mayor and three chairs. But we had the head of city council and Mayor Dave Norris, the head of the Board of Supervisors and Ken Boyd, the head of the Albemarle County Service Authority and Don Wagner, and the head of the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority and Mike Gaffney. Those four people got together. That was in response to the resolutions that were passed in the city and the county. And then our officials went to the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority meeting, and they said, well, the RWSA, who's putting together this plan for the community's 50-year water supply, they said, we hear you. We're going to study dredging, so we're going to allocate up to $300,000 to study dredging. But we also heard that there's interest in having the four chairs get together and figure out, you know, how else can the public be involved in this? And what they've come up with is a dredging task force that's going to have representatives from 11 different groups. And we do have those listed in the article. Some of the nonprofits that will be represented in that group are the Nature Conservancy, League of Women Voters, the Ivy Creek Foundation, Citizens for a Sustainable Water Supply Plan. Of course, Kevin Lynch is involved with them. The Chamber of Commerce. Somebody representing the property owners around the South Fork Reservoir. And then, interestingly, I thought, Coy, UVA was included, but as the representative with recreational interest, quote-unquote.
Because that's where they do their boating,
That's
right?
where the rowing team
yeah, yeah.
practices. But, you know, when I heard them say that, I was thinking to myself, well, UVA is also one of the biggest consumers of water. So they could have, I think they could have had a seat at the table just for being a major
That's
user.
That's a good point.
Because they have a lot at stake.
Yeah, good
when
point.
It comes to this. So anyway.
Sounds very inclusive.
It is. They're going to have a public hearing. They'll be working over the next 4 months. And one thing I would want the public to understand, though, is that the decision makers see this as a parallel process. They don't see this as something separate from doing a complete dredging study of South Fork, but they see it as informing that study. So helping define the scope of work that the consultant that is ultimately hired will then take and do.
Yeah.
So they see it as a parallel process. The Ravana Water and Sewer Authority right now is, they said yesterday that they will be putting out a request for qualifications, an RFQ, to find a consultant that's qualified to do a complete dredging study. And the hope is that then they will be qualified to take on whatever comes out of this task force. The task force will present its findings to a meeting of the joint boards. All four of these groups will get together in November sometime on a date to be determined. The task force will come back and say, here's what we think needs to be done at South Fork. And whether that's looking after recreational interest, whether it's looking after water quality, whether it's looking after water quantity and dredging and recovering some of that storage capability, those are the things that will be on the table and the task force will be wrestling with.
Interesting. And they are going to have a public meeting. The task force, the water.
The task force
will. They have a name. Is it the water task force or the dredging task force?
I'm calling it the dredging task force. I don't know that if it has
Because it's a group of
name.
People who are tasked with looking at dredging the South Fork of the Ravana, not just for creating a bigger bathtub,
yep.
but for all of these maintenance and rowing. And
looking at all those issues. And there were some interesting comments made. Not all of them made it in my story. They're certainly documented in the podcast. But some of the business community today was blogging. If you look at the Free Enterprise Forum and Neil Williamson's blog, Neil Williamson today was talking about how Don Wagner, who is the chair of the Albemarle County Service Authority, he was saying that, well, let's say hypothetically the task force comes back and says the number one thing we care about at South Fork is recreational use, you know, fishing and rowing. Let's say that those are the two most important things. And his point was, well, the ratepayers in Albemarle may not want to pay for that, to do that work to help save it for that purpose. Whereas in the city, everyone in the city of Charlottesville is a ratepayer for water. In the county, that's not the case. So in the county, you might have lots of users who are in the rural countryside, have their own wells. You know, should they have to pay for this recreational
facility?
Oh,
I see what you mean. And how would they pay?
And how would they pay?
Because they don't buy water, but
right
they
now,
might go fishing.
Right now, the only way the Albemarle County Service Authority gets money is if you're buying water or sewer services from them.
Right.
So that was an interesting point.
But if you're out in the country on septic and a well, you're not giving them any money.
You're not.
But you might enjoy going over there
you
and
might.
Fishing.
And so he made that point, which I thought was a good one. Didn't make my story, but Neil Williamson was talking about that. So there are a number of interesting things. Chairman Ken Boyd was the one who said there really needs to be a public hearing. So that will be part of the task force's work. And then there was an interesting back and forth between Ken Boyd and Mayor Dave Norris about should
that was really
should
it was
this
really
impact the 50-year plan or not? And three of the four people there, Don Wagner, Mike Gaffney, Ken Boyd, said, no, the 50-year plan is settled.
Leave it alone. Don't touch it.
That train's left the station. It
yep.
should move faster. And Mayor Norris said very candidly, you know, I may be the lone guy here, but I think, you know, you need to leave that door open, that there could be feedback that comes from a dredging study that says we don't need to build as much capacity at Ragged Mountain. So that conversation happened several times throughout the meeting. And we tried to cover that pretty thoroughly in the story because that's been a lot of the conversation in the public.
Well, and that was, I think, that one of the key dynamics of that meeting that was missing from the other media accounts was that back and forth between Dave Norris and the other folks who all the other three who clearly are supporters of this big 50-year plan and Dave who's sort of like, hey, we might do some dredging, capture some more quantity, and we may not need as big a reservoir as you guys want to build.
And I went up to Mayor Norris afterwards and I said, you know, with what you came up with today for this dredging task force and the timeline and the mission you've given them, do you think that it will meet your needs as far as leaving the door open to revisit some of the infrastructure choices? And he said he thought so, that it would. Because right now what's happening is the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority is working with Gannett Fleming thing to engineer the base for this new dam of whatever height it is. They are working on the, you know, the geotechnical work and figuring out where this dam is going to attach to the rock walls on the side.
Yeah.
They need to figure that out. That's going to be done throughout the rest of this year. And then next year, the Ravenna Water and Sewer Authority wants to put out the RFP to actually build the dam, and that work would commence next summer. So by the end of this year, work would commence on the foundation part, and next summer they would put out an RFP to actually start building the dam. And
when do they start cutting down all those trees?
Well, that I wouldn't think would happen until after they decide how for certain how tall the dam's going to be.
Right, because then you know how much land you're going to flood.
That would be my guess.
Yeah.
But anyway, Mayor Norris left the meeting convinced that there was enough time to adequately consider that.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow online at SeavilleTomorrow.org. You can read his complete coverage of that meeting and this story that we're talking about there on the website. Just click on the blog. And I've said this before, but I want to say it again. I think it's interesting that we're not hearing any discussion that if they do build this big reservoir, we've heard nothing, next to nothing about, well, isn't that a new recreational facility as well, that big new lake? Like, are we going to be able to row there? Are we going to be able to fish there? That's all of a sudden we're going to have a massive new lake right near the city.
And, you know, my other people are probably more qualified on this than they might call in, but Ragged Mountain has not had those same uses on it. And so if you hike the trails on Ragged Mountain, you'll see how it's very restricted what you can do around the reservoir. They really want to keep you on the trails and protect that pristine watershed.
I wonder if that's going to be kept up when they quadruple or whatever the size of that lake.
Well, and of course, what the Nature Conservancy came forward and said was, we've got some additional parcels that can be thrown in the mix here that have conservation easements, and that in partnership with the city and county, you could expand the trail system and even incorporate the other side of I-64 in it somehow in the future. So, you know, that as a resource for people who enjoy being out on trails and around a reservoir, it could be a bigger recreational resource. But as far as things actually on the water and in the water, my sense about that is Ragged Mountain is treated a little differently, more like Sugar Hollow, and that there aren't the same uses that are allowed on South Fork.
You can fish Sugar Hollow, though, right? You just can't take a boat out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So you might be able to fish this lake, but not boating. They catch on a boat to give you
a... Don't quote me on that, but
give you a ticket.
That's my sense of it.
Before we go to a break, can you update us about the that UVA's new proposed hospital was approved, right?
It was.
Out on Route 250 near the Volvo dealership.
And we sort of previewed that last week, and you know, one of the things you immediately asked about was, what about transportation and the impact on Route 250 west and this, you know, adding a new use right at the Northridge facility?
Yeah. I mean, it's just a matter of time before there's another traffic like that.
And that was the big topic of conversation, the traffic impacts on 250 west. And the commission expressed their concerns, and they put some requirements on the proposal that when it gets finalized, there needs to be an in-depth study by VDOT fully evaluating the need for a new traffic signal.
Yeah.
They are trying to limit the number of new roads, and that was part of the commission's work because there's several facilities in here. The new long-term acute care hospital is a 50-bed hospital. That's for patients spending more than 25 days at a UVA medical facility. But then there's also a maintenance facility. There's Northridge, and then there's another, what's called the Sieg warehouse. And so those four buildings right now currently have 1, 2, 3 entrances onto 250 today. And the concern was, let's not add a fourth.
Let's consolidate them.
Let's try to consolidate them.
And put a light there.
Right.
Likely. You know, I think you heard it here first, folks. 2008 on Charlottesville right now. I'll bet you Route 250 West, because I've seen it since I've been here, it's going to turn into a city street between here and Ivy. And it really won't open up until you pass Ivy. It's just going to be one, like 29 North, one stoplight after another until you get past Ivy, past Owensville Road, because they're going to have to put a stoplight or something at Owensville Road eventually.
Well, at Owensville, you know what they've talked about, Coy.
The roundabout.
The roundabout.
And VDOT won't let her do it.
Well, actually, VDOT said it would fit fine. They did some, you know, back of the envelope kind of engineering on it. They said a roundabout could fit in at Owensville, Morgantown, and Route 250 West. You'd have to get a little bit of private property to make it work. Of course, paying for it was the big question. And so you know, short of money, that's a potential solution for that part of 250.
Before we go to a break, let's go to Gary, been waiting patiently on line one. Gary, you're on with Brian Wheeler. You go right ahead.
How you doing this afternoon?
Very good.
I have a question. I live in northern Albemarle County. I've lived around here all my life. I know from doing work on the farm out at Old Benavar Farm, Mrs. Murray and Mr. Murray, Jim Murray, are they're real active in the Nature Conservancy. I heard you guys speak of the Nature Conservancy being one of the entities involved in this or whatever. There's property out in northern Albemarle County just off of Burnley Station Road that runs, that actually joins up, with, I think, with Orange and Green. It's called the Pretty Creek area.
Right.
Mrs. Murray told me a long time ago that piece of property had been talked about as a future reservoir. How come that piece of property is never brought up in this? And yeah, I'm just curious to why not. And if you have some information on that, I'll just hang up and listen to it, if that's
great.
Okay.
Great. Thank you, Gary, so much. Appreciate the call.
Gary, I don't have that information in front of me. I guess what I would say is that Pretty Creek has been, I believe, is going to be one of the newest parks in Albemarle County. I believe that land was accepted as a new park.
Where is that? I've heard of that.
Up in northwest Albemarle. And the exact location between 29 and the county line at Shenandoah National Park, I'm not sure. It's on my list of places to go visit. And because I remember writing that down when the county decided to make that a park, or they accepted that gift. I'm not sure exactly how that happened.
Is it up towards Nortonsville?
I'll look into that.
Is it Nortonsville that's up that way?
And, I'm not sure. You know, when we do our pie rotation,
though, yeah, we'll go find
we're going
it.
Be going through there. But, Gary, the other thing you might be thinking of is the Buck Mountain Reservoir, which was near Free Union, and that was a place that was acquired in order to build a new reservoir. James River Spiny Mussel was found in that watershed, and so that's been taken off the list as a place to have a reservoir. But I'd never heard
because
that
they didn't want to flood the land and make a new reservoir because they thought it would kill this little spiny mussel.
They didn't
thing.
Think they would be able to get a permit to do it.
Yeah,
from the federal government. And but I'll look into Pretty Creek, and we can report on that next week.
All righty. Let's take a break for local news and weather. Continue the discussion on the other side. We'll talk about renovating the downtown mall and the big County Board of Supervisors meeting tomorrow. This is Charlottesville Right Now. Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. He's online at sevilletomorrow.org. The very latest on the downtown mall.
There was a big old meeting last night. And
big old meeting.
And apparently 200 people is what I heard.
Kidding.
And I didn't even know 200 people could fit in that room. So I need to study the photographs to be convinced of that.
Where is this?
According to the Daily Progress, it was packed to the brim.
That's the words they used?
The City Space Meeting Room. It's the old Social Security office. It's in the Market Street parking garage.
Oh, down in the
above Bashir's.
Yeah. You walk up the stairs there near the elevator.
The Charlottesville Design Center's in there now.
Yeah,
and apparently
really?
The crowd, busted out into the Design Center.
Wow. Area.
But the city has a great meeting room there, and it's open to nonprofits to reserve and use. And I mean, I think
how about
a
that?
Small fee, but it's a beautiful spot because you're looking right down on the mall.
Yeah.
And these people were all there looking down on the mall and having a conversation about renovating the downtown mall.
Yeah.
And really focused in on the cost, the bricks, and the schedule.
Am I right in saying, because my general impression of what, and I haven't read all the stories, but this is what I've heard. Going to renovate the mall because a lot of the bricks are coming up. So they hired a firm to come in and give them a proposal. The proposal came in full of bells and whistles, really expensive. The city council said, yeah, let's cut back on some of those bells and whistles. We don't need all that fancy stuff, all these waterfalls everywhere and everything. We want to maintain it. We don't necessarily want to reinvent it.
I think everything you said is true. However, I was in some of those early meetings with stakeholders in the community. The city and this consultant had a number of meetings with residents, with business leaders, and they showed several options. They showed a stripped-down version.
The consultant?
Yeah, and they showed the bells and whistles version. And there was a lot of public support for fountains and interactive features and some of that glitz on the mall. Because, I think in the when you see the pictures, people had a very positive reaction to a stair-step waterfall, in front of the Omni Hotel.
Yeah.
Going down between the Ice Park and the Omni. Now, that there's no cost, associated with looking at that picture. So people had a pretty positive reaction to it. And that's why it moved forward in the plans. But eventually, city council weighed in and said, not going to happen.
Yeah. It's too expensive.
And other people then weighed in and said, let's look back at Halperin's original design for the mall and try to be as true as possible to that vision. Now, of course, that being said,
the Halperin, mall, the architect who designed it.
That's right. But when he designed it, of course, it didn't go as far as the Omni Hotel, nor did it go down to a pavilion and the First Amendment Monument.
Yeah. It was just a few streets in either direction. So it wasn't
the mall is a different thing now, but his vision has been, I guess you would say, extended.
And interesting that his original vision called for bricking those side streets, but they didn't have enough money to do it at the time.
Right. And that's a question about this renovation project. And right now, I believe they've backed out some of the work on the side streets. Some of the side streets will be done as part of construction projects that are underway, redevelopment projects like the hotel, the nine-story hotel going at the Boxer Learning Space.
I think those side streets have public-private partnership written all over it.
Sure.
I mean, I think if you're a developer, you got property on the downtown mall and you want to see that street bricked, there should be some private investment. It shouldn't just all be taxpayers to do it.
Well, and the concerns of the private business community are heavily on the time schedule for getting this done. It's a very ambitious schedule. They've now, I think, gone to 5 months. They'd like to do this between January and May.
That's quick.
Of next year, replacing every brick on the downtown mall. And so that's pretty aggressive. Now, what the city says in their defense of that schedule is that we've got a contractor who we believe has a good track record and can get it done, and I'm sure they'll put them on some, you know, penalty clause, you know, in the contract. If they're smart, they will. But also, they're not laying the bricks in mortar. As proposed, they will be sitting in on a sand base and will just fit together snugly. That's the way things were done up at Court Square.
Like a patio?
Yeah.
Like one of those patios?
One big patio.
Yeah.
And the benefit to that is it's quicker to install them, and it takes less work to put them in.
Interesting.
They've also done that on that third street that was just extended up
next along. Next to the Paramount?
Next to the Paramount. So that was done that way on sand.
Oh, so you can go look at it and see what it would look like.
That's right. Now, some people have looked at that and said they don't like it.
Really? Why? Why?
Because they think it hides the pattern of the bricks. So the Halperin design has mortar in the bricks on the downtown mall. The bricks are oversized, and there's this herringbone effect. And there's a concern that if you eliminate the mortar and just snugly fit the bricks together, you'll lose some of that visual pattern. I tell you, though, Coy, it's sort of like, you know, for me personally.
I'm rolling my eyes. Can
personal
you tell?
Opinion here.
Yes, yes.
My personal opinion. I mean, it's sort of like when somebody tells you, you know, there's a defect on your car or your house, and then it just starts bothering you, you know? You know what I mean? Like, you know, I was outside my house, and I noticed, gosh, my house really needs to be power washed. And now I can't stand looking at my house. So now I
know where you can rent one. It's a messy job, though.
I walk up and down the mall every day. And now the bricks that are, you know, sticking up and tripping me and
you really notice them?
They're really starting to bug me.
I don't notice them. I don't know why. Maybe I'm not looking.
You will now. Now they will start to bug.
We were down there this weekend. We took the kids to the Discovery Museum, and it didn't cross my mind.
Well, if you start looking carefully, you'll see that a lot of those bricks are broken. A lot of them are sticking up. So
why don't they take the good bricks that they pull up and use them on the side streets?
There is talk of reusing some of those bricks.
Wouldn't that be a smart thing to do?
They're talking about it. They're talking about reusing some of them, not on the side streets, but in some of the patterned features.
Why wouldn't we just do the side streets that we want to see get done?
Well,
I mean, it didn't. You know what I mean? Isn't that like a no-brainer?
Coy, you know, this is where we need the architect sitting here because they'd be laughing at us right now.
Probably so.
We're messing with the Quan of the downtown mall by doing that.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. So the next big chapter in that discussion is...
Well, now what's going to happen is that feedback was taken in from the public last night. This was sort of a public hearing of sorts. For the consultants to have, and that feedback will be given to City Council, and apparently at their July 21st meeting, they will make the go-no-go decision on this renovation plan and its scope and what its goal is.
There you go. Now, speaking of upcoming meetings, there's a big one tomorrow that we want to let folks know about in the county.
All sorts of interesting things tomorrow. Let's start with the Meadow Creek Parkway. I'll talk about this quickly. Meadow Creek Parkway, we posted a story on our blog on Sunday about the funding gap that has reopened. This has become an annual story for us.
Dust off that MCP story.
Because the price tag has now gone up by $5 million. This is for Albemarle County's portion. It's not the city's portion. It's not the interchange. This is just from K-Tech, you know, basically to Melbourne Road. So K-Tech off of Rio, right across from Dunlora.
Yeah.
First portion of the Meadow Creek Parkway, stopping at Melbourne Road, Charlottesville High School.
And that's an important point because a lot of folks, I think, believe that the Meadow Creek Parkway, that what we're going to do now is the whole thing from McIntyre all the way up to Rio, and it's not. The city's just going to Melbourne.
Right. Well,
right.
I mean,
right. They're not going past Melbourne, right?
Well, the planners in the city and the county think we are doing the whole thing. The pieces just need to come together at the right time to make that happen. So, and, you know, some opponents of the parkway point to the fact that these are three separate projects on the books as a problem, and that that's a way to avoid some of the investigation that ought to be done on environmental issues.
Of course it is.
It's a whole other story.
Yeah,
but anyway, I'm just talking about Albemarle County's portion. The news is the price has gone up $5 million because of higher fuel and construction cost, according to VDOT.
Wow.
So now we're up to $30.6 million for this part of the Meadow Creek
Parkway. From Melbourne up to K-Tech.
Right. Now, back in fiscal year 2000, this part of the road was projected to cost $10 million.
Oh, my gosh. And so what is it now again, 30?
$30.6 million.
Oh, man.
Now, the amount of money that Albemarle County gets from the state for secondary roads in this next fiscal year is going to be about $3.5 million. So
For all secondary roads.
The bottom line there is the money for all secondary roads that Albemarle County gets isn't enough to keep up with the inflationary cost of this one project. So what the Board of Supervisors will do tomorrow...
You need to have a cakewalk.
What they will do tomorrow is talk about how they're going to close that gap. And they're expected to allocate some capital money towards this project. You know, before several years ago, the county never used its own tax dollars for roads. The state paid for roads. The state's not paying for it. The costs are going up on these projects. So now county taxpayers are having to put their dollars in to keep this road on schedule.
Here's the question. Would the city build to Melbourne if the county doesn't build from Melbourne to up to K-Tech? Like, would we just have half of a Meadow Creek Parkway?
No, I don't think...
Because that would be a nightmare, wouldn't it?
I don't think...
Folks go to Melbourne and then try to do a dogleg to get back on Rio?
Well, you know, and that came up when the city school board was looking at the right-of-way for the project where they had to give up part of a softball field. That was talked about, how they didn't... They were concerned about the other scenario, the county building its portion and the city not building theirs. So I think both sides are looking at that. And again, the planners in both localities just want this project to keep moving forward and to have all three of these things come together at the same time so they can open the road.
Because money falls from the sky.
But we got to raise some money.
Albemarle County doesn't have $30 million sitting around for this, do they?
Well, they've been stockpiling it over the years. So it's in VDOT's coffers. It's in Albemarle's coffers. I'm not sure exactly where it is. I hope it's making somebody some interest.
Hope somebody's got a fat sock somewhere with some money in it.
All right. Speaking of use of resources, the other thing that they're going to be talking about in depth tomorrow and taking action on is that resource utilization study. You may remember that Dr. Bill Boscher with the Commonwealth Educational Policy Institute worked with the Albemarle County School Board and did a review of their operations. Now staff are recommending, local government staff are recommending that Dr. Boscher's group be hired for about $89,000 to do a study of the efficiency and resource management of Albemarle County. So I think, you know, the taxpayer watchdogs out there lobbied for this during the budget process, and they said, you know, local government, you really need to look at how you're spending your dollars and are they being used as effectively as possible. So in front of the Board of Supervisors tomorrow will be a proposal to retain this group and have them come in and do a similar thing. City Council will also be talking about a resource utilization study. And, of course, the city school board has already signed up to do one with another group.
How much does it cost for somebody to come in and tell you how you might be wasting money?
Well, this would be $89,000. That's what's being proposed. But, you know, but the thinking...
But it might be money well spent if you can save millions.
The thinking is, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Good cost-benefit analysis there.
Yeah. What else is tomorrow? They're doing that old Planet Fun site?
Yeah, the Planet Fun site. So this is
behind Lowe's?
Goes by the name of the Berkmar Business Park. Now, we're going to bring a few things together here in your mind, Coy.
Okay.
As you're going up 29 North, you may remember in a recent show, last week, in fact, I think I talked about Northtown Center. So that's on the – if you're heading up 29 North, it's on the right between Woodbrook and Carsbrook, directly across the street from Kegler's.
Yep, yep.
That got approved, the first phase of that.
Big new shopping center going in there.
Bank and some commercial buildings.
Yeah.
So that's going in. And its entrance will be at that traffic light right near the Carsbrook, right in front of Shule's Furniture.
Yeah.
There's a traffic light there on 29.
Uh-huh.
So Northtown Center is going to be coming in there.
Okay.
On the left, right in front of Kegler's, right along 29, there'll be three buildings, actually two buildings along 29, one up on the hill a little bit. They will close the entrance to Kegler's. And Kegler's will start using the entrance over near that traffic light. But a new development's going in. I believe it's called Ravana Plaza. So you've got Ravana Plaza going in, three buildings.
Where the putt-putt was.
Where that fancy putt-putt was that had the mountains and the waterfalls and
right in front of Kegler's.
Right in front of Kegler's.
Yeah.
So there are going to be three new buildings there.
And they're going to close the entrance to Kegler's.
Close the Kegler's
and have
entrance,
a new entrance.
Have a new entrance that they'll share.
Okay, I gotcha.
Because VDOT doesn't want more and more entrances on 29.
Oh, well, thank you.
They want to use the ones they've got
more
effectively. That's called access management.
Oh,
that's the lingo.
I knew it had a name.
Okay, so we got Ravana Plaza on one side. You've got Northtown Center on the other, both feeding into that traffic light. Okay, now in front of the...
So if I hear you right, another major new traffic light between where you turn to go to Lowe's...
The traffic light's already there.
Yeah, but it's going to be huge. It's good. Right now, it's just if you want to go to Shule's.
That's right.
But it's going to be a new
a
major
users,
one
right.
between the where you turn to go to
That's
Lowe's
right.
and where you turn to go to Walmart.
So Ravana Plaza and Northtown Center were not rezonings. They were by right developments for the most part. They needed some permits, special use permits, but they didn't have to put anything on the table to say, hey, we'll fix the transportation problems and mitigate the impact we're going to have, right?
Yeah. No
like,
proffers.
Like a big – yeah, no big proffers.
Yeah.
Okay, now we've got Berkmar Business Park coming in. That's what's on their agenda tomorrow. This was rejected by the County Planning Commission. The applicants appealed it to the Board of Supervisors. And this is up along Berkmar. Berkmar is that parallel road, runs into Sam's Club,
yep.
you know, behind Sam's Club, and then goes around down to Fashion Square.
Where the SPCA is.
So the Berkmar Business Park would encompass that Planet Fun development, redevelop that, and then there'd be other uses along there. But the county staff are recommending rejecting this, or not really. They're recommending it go back to the Planning Commission. It's not ready. And the main thing here that I think is they've said it more clearly than I've ever seen it spelled out by county staff. Let me just read this real quick. This is Glenn Brooks writing. This is the county engineer. The issue now is a fundamental difference in philosophy on when transportation improvements need to be in place, what those transportation improvements are, and who will build them. It's my opinion that this is not a realistic way to address impacts for development, especially when county staff and money are simply not available. What that means is you've got county planners saying this rezoning should not be approved until the infrastructure is in place to support it. In other words, concurrency of infrastructure with new development.
Which we haven't seen a lot of. We've seen a lot of go ahead and approve it, and we'll let the infrastructure catch up, hopefully.
That's right. And what the developer is saying is they will put some money on the table to make some improvements, to build part of a connector road that would connect 29 to Berkmar.
Oh, that's interesting.
But apparently Better Living next door is not wanting to have that connector road, part of which will go over their property.
Uh-huh.
So that's a stumbling block for that connector road.
Yes,
but
it
you've
is.
Got county staff saying this is not ready until these transportation matters are figured out and we have the infrastructure in place. It's going to be a very interesting conversation tomorrow.
And that is tomorrow, the County Board of Supervisors meeting. Could they go ahead and approve this thing?
They could. They could overrule.
Against the wishes of the,
sure, they
the
could.
Planning Commission and staff.
Yep, they could.
Interesting. Well, we'll have to see what happens. When is that meeting?
That'll starts tomorrow at 9 a.m.
Tomorrow at 9 a.m. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Corey.
Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at seavilletomorrow.org.